it direct.
We're back in the studio at Berkeley Liberation Radio, 104.1 FM, broadcasting live from West Oakland, also streaming live on berkeleyliberationradio.net. You can call us in the studio anytime you want if you want to share some thoughts or ask us a question at 510-495-1666. Once again, that's 510-495-1666. And you're tuned to Relatos Zapatistas. We're here every first Sunday of the month from 4 to 6 p.m. And right now, we're going to bring you, we have in the studio with us a member of the Oakland, somebody who works for the Oakland Public Libraries, Agnes, who is going to talk to us a little bit about the state of the Oakland Public Libraries in the context, the overall context of austerity, the austerity measures that are being pushed both at the sort of state level and at the level of the city. Some of these issues are issues that we've been talking about here for a little while. And so we thought that it would be an interesting idea to talk to some of the people who are actually working directly sort of in at these institutions that are threatened with being cut. And particularly because the city budget has been signed recently, we thought that it would be a good idea or an interesting idea, an interesting conversation to have right now to find out sort of what the current state of the struggle is. So we're here in the studio with Agnes, and the first question we wanted to ask you was sort of maybe if you could talk a little bit about what was being threatened, what the proposals, what were the proposals that were on the table for cutting the libraries. I mean, we heard the numbers, 14 out of the 18 libraries were theoretically going to be cut. And we know now that the, you know, the city council signed a budget last Thursday, I think, that didn't cut any of the libraries. And so, you know, maybe talk about what was on the table and then what ended up happening.
Sure. So what was really on the table was not so much the number of libraries being projected for closure. It was a monetary amount that was to be cut. They were going to cut our general fund contribution from $9.1 million to $3.6 million, and cutting it below the $9.1 million threshold meant that we would lose the bond measure that voters approved in 2004, and that's $14 million. So our total budget was going to go from $24 million down to $3.6 million. They proposed keeping four branches open, I'm sorry, on that amount, which actually was not very realistic. We could have staffed them 2 to 3 days a week. The main library would have had only one floor open, and there would basically have been no library services. It would have been check in, check out, nobody to fix the computers, et cetera. It would not have resembled the library we know today. And yeah, City Council did, they signed a new fiscal year budget on Thursday, which was the last possible minute to do it on time, basically. It preserves all library funding, which is wonderful, and we're very excited about that. But the excitement is tempered with the knowledge that the state budget also just passed and cuts redevelopment funding completely. We're really nervous about how that's going to impact city services as a whole, because Oakland relies pretty heavily on redevelopment funding. And of course, there's other cuts that came through in the most recent state budget that are going to come down to us.
We can come back at the end of the conversation to some of the, you know, what the future outlook is in sort of, as you mentioned, with the state government cutting so much and the city government as well, using some like budget gimmicky sort of things to get through this these next 2 years. Maybe we can come back later and talk more specifically about what sort of the future looks like. But maybe for now, sort of there has been a victory. And so maybe we could talk a little bit about, or you could talk a little bit about, what kinds of actions or tactics the librarians carried out in support of the libraries, and how sort of you guys started organizing together.
Organizing together started with pizza at a restaurant in Oakland the night after we got the news that this was what was on the table. It was a pretty small core group of us who started not even coming up with plans, but coming up with a basic strategy we were going to follow. We decided right away we were going to focus on protecting Measure Q funding, because that's voter-approved money that was a guaranteed revenue stream. We also didn't want to leave room for the city to start saying, well, maybe we can just cut 3 libraries, or maybe we can just cut 10 libraries. We wanted all the libraries kept open. We wanted to protect every neighborhood library. So we kept the focus from the beginning on protect all of our funding, keep all branches open. And we took a really multifaceted approach to protecting the libraries and protecting what we have. We did really traditional measures like getting a petition signed. We had the petition signed by over 15,000 people, which is more than 3.5% of Oakland's total population. And then we also passed out lots of flyers talking about the measures that were to be put in place. We had people write to City Council. We worked really heavily on getting people to write to City Council and contact City Council. But one of our big problems from the start was getting people to be aware of what was proposed. It didn't make any major media in the beginning, and even for the first few weeks, which was really frustrating. So we started coming up with some bigger direct actions to try and really to try and get the media aware and to try to get the public aware. So the first thing that we did was a guerrilla story time, and that was at Bike to Work Day at Frank Ogawa Plaza. We sort of took over about 2 minutes of it, and we had a story time over a bullhorn, and we had a bunch of plants in the audience, and it ended up that most of the audience was part of the plant, which shocked me because it was at 7:45 a.m. and I think 80 people turned up, which was amazing. So they all crowded around and we had story time, and then at the end we announced this is, you know, the libraries are being proposed for closure, and that helped. And then we came up with the zombie march, which was done by Brooklyn librarians. They marched over the Brooklyn Bridge dressed as zombies, so we caught a lot of ideas from them. But then it still didn't seem to be working. And at one point, a colleague and I were very depressed, had both been up the night before crying, and were convinced that it was not going well. And that's when we came up with the idea for the silent funeral. That was our largest public protest. It was unpermitted. We had probably close to 200 people at the biggest point of it. It was during Art Murmur in May. And we got quite a police presence from that, which was really interesting considering we weren't even chanting. It was a silent protest. That got a lot of attention. And then the next thing that we did, the 14-hour read-in, was really when the media started to pay attention. So those are the things that the librarians planned. I can't emphasize enough the impact that that other groups had on the attention we ended up getting in the media. Bay of Rage did two different actions. The second one was very library focused, and that was the action that resulted in some people being arrested. And I think honestly that caught the attention of the media, and then they woke up and said, oh, you've been doing all this other stuff, and now you have this all day thing going on Monday. And that's when people really started to hear what was going on.
I have a recording here of the speech that a couple of librarians gave at the end of the Bay of Rage, the second Bay of Rage action that you just mentioned. And I thought I would play it because there's some really interesting stuff about, you know, the topic of sort of what needs the libraries, the public libraries serve. And so maybe we'll listen to that and then we can come back and continue the conversation here.
Energetic and orderly raucous out here. It was really nice to hear your sounds drifting down to my office as I finished my work for the day. I'm Nina Lindsay, the Children's Services Coordinator for the library, and I've lived in Oakland all my life. I can't imagine Oakland without a library system. Staff would be affected by these cuts, but it's mostly the city that would be affected by these cuts, and that's what I find most heartbreaking. At the same time, it's really amazing to see the community support that has come out for the libraries, and it makes me hopeful that if the support keeps on generating more enthusiasm through the weekend, that City Council will be able to come up with a proposal to save the libraries. I know they want to. I know the money isn't there, but I think they're beginning to understand that open libraries are a priority for Oakland. My name's Nina Lindsay.
Hi, everybody. I'm Amy Martin. I've worked for Oakland Public Library for about 3 years. It's the best library system I've ever worked for. Yeah. Oakland is one of the best cities I've ever lived in or been to or seen. and I don't say that lightly. Thank you again. I want to echo Nina and say thank you so much for your support. It means so much to us here at the library who've been so scared and working so hard over the last few weeks. And I want to say you're not just defending a public information resource, you're defending a public safety resource today. I can't tell you how many times staff at libraries have been impacted by the violence in the communities that they serve. They've seen it happen firsthand. In some cases, staff intervene, break up fights. Staff are responsible for protecting the public safety on a daily basis. Libraries are a place people come to for refuge in so many ways. I've known homeless families who basically lived at the library, who brought their kids there for shelter, families who just need a place to go to get out of a bad environment. And I think it's so important to stand up for. It's so worth fighting for. Tomorrow there's a bike ride starting at Frank Ogawa Plaza at 10 a.m. They're going to ride to the East Oakland branches. I hope some of you will join in for that. And Monday we're going to be at Frank Ogawa Plaza all day for a 14-hour read-in. We have lots of local authors. We think it's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, Tuesday night is City Council hearing when they do the first reading of the budget. And I hope people will show up for that, too. It's 5:30 at City Hall. Thank you very, very, very much.
My name is Helen Block, and I'm a children's librarian here. I've lived in Oakland for 27 years and have worked in the system for about 10. And I think that access to information, especially for children, is a public safety issue. I used to work in the criminal justice system and became so disillusioned with it because the people I was trying to help were adults. And I knew that I might be able to help them get a shorter jail sentence or do something like that. I used to be a public defender. But I knew in my heart of hearts that if I wanted to help people and give people a fighting chance in this society, that they needed access to information and they needed books, they needed to know how to read. And I became a children's librarian and I have loved it ever since. Safety is not necessarily police. Public safety means providing a place for children to learn, for children to form community, and for the community to come together. Oakland is too divided this way. Libraries are one of the few places remaining in this city where people can go and form community. Oakland Unified School District budget has been decimated. Lots and lots of kids do not have access to books. Oakland Public Library is the only way that they will get books to read. And we need that. We need to recognize it and we need to prioritize it. Thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it.
All right, so that was the speeches of three different librarians who came out, I think this was on June 17th, during an action that was called Anti-Cut 2, sort of under the name Bay of Rage, a series of anti-austerity actions that are designed to sort of build capacity for a radical, you know, anti-authoritarian, anti-state response to austerity measures. At the level of the government, we've been talking about these. In the last show, we talked about, I think, the first anti-cut action. And so this was the second one. And the librarian, the march, it was a street march again that ended up at the main branch of the Oakland Public Library. And the librarians, it ended up there like maybe around 5:30 or something p.m., like when the library was about closing. And the librarians came out and voiced their support, sort of thanked the people who had, you know, organized and done that march for the very vocal protest where, you know, a number of people were actually arrested as well. And so some of the things that people were saying there were really, really interesting. But the first thing that I wanted to ask you about was a little bit about sort of the maybe not necessarily the tensions, but just sort of what the relationship was between the librarians who were organizing, you guys, you know, who were organizing your own kinds of actions on the one hand, and then these other groups that were organizing maybe independently, but maybe in conjunction with you guys, but not necessarily directly or officially or whatever. And so, you know, what the relationship between the librarians and the other people who were organizing was, and, you know, what the librarians thought, or what other librarians thought about the tactics that were being used.
So as people who work for City of Oakland, we have to be kind of conservative in how we approach protesting city council decisions. So nobody within the library was involved in anti-cut in either of them so far. But the library is a free speech institution, and we want that kind of thing. We want people to come out and, you know, and express themselves in the street. And when it's on our behalf, cool. we loved it. There definitely were people within the building who were not quite as thrilled as maybe some of us were. And for those people, we did try to kind of, I personally tried to ease the tension a little bit. Like, there was one woman at the front desk who was apprehensive, and I know my boss talked to her on the phone and said, they're just expressing themselves, and they're here in support of us. And then she was like, oh yeah, okay. So there are some people who were a little bit, I guess, nervous, because it was a more confrontational approach than we've ever taken, and than we ever would take as city employees in our protesting strategies. But if other people want to do it on their time, I think that's wonderful. And like I said, I don't think that our actions would have gotten the reaction from media that they did if they hadn't been complemented by this somewhat more aggressive action. I think that it definitely bumped us up a notch. It made it brought a more sense of urgency to what we were doing.
Another thing that was mentioned in those speeches was that got a lot of applause from the people who were organizing or who were marching on Anti-Cut 2 was the line, I think the third librarian said it, the line that safety is not necessarily police. A couple of them were talking about the role that the library as sort of a public space plays in forming kind of relationships of trust or providing support for people who don't have anything else, especially in an environment where all public spaces are being sort of eliminated and destroyed. And so I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about sort of what, you know, we all know that libraries are great for providing books and information and stuff like that, but sort of maybe talk a little bit more about the broader context, or what other things these public spaces serve.
One thing that was brought up repeatedly by library staff and library supporters at council meetings and in conversation was that libraries boost literacy rates, and rates of illiteracy and low literacy in children is directly linked to high school dropout rates, school failure rates, which have a direct effect in turn on crime rates in the city. So there really is there's a direct connection between literacy, children growing up with literacy, and people having options later in life. I worked with many adults in the library who can't fill out a job application because they just can't read well enough and they can't write well enough. There comes a point when, what do you do? That's, I think, what leads a lot of people into desperation. But even beyond that, one of my colleagues who works at the 81st Avenue branch made a speech at City Council that I thought was so compelling. He talked about being a man without a gun working in East Oakland who is in a position of authority over the young boys who are growing up in the library. He and his colleague just finished a video project about fifth graders using the library, and talked about what it means to be a role model, an adult male role model who is not carrying a gun in a library, and how powerful that is for kids to see that you can be an authoritative adult and not be armed. You can be somebody who's gentle and also powerful. So there's that, and then there's this fact of, yeah, people losing their public space within Oakland, especially children losing their public space. I can tell you that the location I work at is packed every day this summer. It's been absolutely packed because it's a free place for kids and families to go. And not just a free place. I mean, it's not just open doors and nothing to do. There's tons to do there. There's lots to engage kids' minds. There's games for families to play together. And we see this going on all day long. I also will say, just between you, me, and however many 100,000 people listen to this, that we had a union meeting recently, where there were lots of staff represented, and one of the staff who was there brought up, well, I don't know that we want to take on the police union, because we were very, very bitter within the rank and file of the library that we've made so many concessions over the years and police have not made nearly as much. So this person said, I don't know that we want to take on the police union because what if they stop responding to our calls? And the entire room just burst into laughter that went on for about 30 seconds. Yeah, it was, and one of my other colleagues turned around and looked surprised and said, what a reaction. I mean, and that to me was a really expressive instance of the fact that within library employees in Oakland, there's a certain amount of resentment toward the police, and maybe not resentment necessarily, but a feeling of helplessness and lack of acknowledgement. There are violent acts that occur in the library that get no police response, that we call them and they don't show up. I've had police not show up in response to calls that I've made from the library far, far more often than I've had them show up. One of our windows was shot out in the location that I work at in the children's area, recently, and police came for that, but it was like, you know, an hour later. And then they had, at another of the branches recently, there was a hit and run and a violent assault in the parking lot. And the police were called 3 times and never came. So there really is sort of this feeling among librarians that we're not being well supported by the police. And we literally end up providing public safety a lot. So the incident with the hit and run, the library staff handled that. The library staff broke up the fight, physically broke up the fight, pulled the people apart, held them apart from each other. We had one staff who retired recently who went on several months of medical leave after breaking up a fight where a man was beating his girlfriend in the library. We've had staff punched in the face on work time within the building. We've had staff be sexually harassed pretty routinely. We have violent and disturbing incidents on a fairly regular basis within the library, and I think one of the reasons Oakland Library functions so well is that we all have developed ways that we come together around those things. There's a lot of community support, and there's a lot of support for people learning how to handle those incidents on their own without police, because we just have sort of come to accept that we're not going to get police.
Your comments about the police union are a nice sort of transition to the last question that we wanted to ask you, that sort of returns to the issue of the budget. And I know that what happened in the final budget that was signed by the Oakland City Council involved a number of different unions agreeing to pay cuts, including the police union, but the police union also... they also included in the deal sort of pay raises in addition to that. So, you know, even as they're getting pay cuts, they're also getting pay raises. And some of the police officers who had been fired are going to be rehired. So they're, once again, getting hit less than all the other unions, as usual, despite the fact that, as you mentioned, they're sort of not providing any services, not providing any safety, and just sort of causing violence in the city in a lot of ways. But that being said, you know, this budget, the good thing about it and the victory for you guys is that the libraries weren't cut and the funding wasn't cut in this time around. And so it's a 2-year budget, which means that the budget's going to come up for negotiation in 2013, I guess. So, you know, the question is, we're still in a time of austerity. And I guess the last question is, how are you guys thinking about the future in the libraries, and if you are, and, you know, how can people stay informed about what's going on? You know, because we imagine that there's going to be another one of these struggles in a couple of years when the next budget comes down.
Oh, hell yeah. And it's not going to be a couple of years. It's going to be a few months, most likely. We're all sort of gearing up for that. It's true that the budget's in place. I think it might be, I could be wrong. I want to say it's a 1-year budget, but 2-year contracts for the employees. So our contracts are in place for the next 2 years, but the city budget, I think, is just 1 year, and next year they have to pass another budget. So yeah, we're not anticipating a long wait before the next struggle comes along. And I don't think it's going to be as big or as visible as the one that just happened. I think it's going to be smaller cuts. It might be a staff who were formerly employed outside the library, like public works or building security, and those staff being moved into the library's budget so that we have to cut elsewhere to maintain our services and accommodate those new employees. But yeah, it's certainly possible that there will be another big visible round of cuts planned. So staying plugged into our movement, we are maintaining, volunteers are maintaining the website, saveoaklandlibrary.org. We'll be maintaining the Facebook page. It's not going to be as active as it's been so far, of course. What we're talking about among the volunteers is thinking of Save Oakland Library as a campaign and forming an outside group of volunteers that would be an organization under a different name that stays connected and keeps planning some events. We have an open mic event in the works that that a young man from the library is planning, and that'll be around the end of July. One thing that we're looking at doing is connecting ourselves with the activist groups around libraries in New York City. There's New York proper and Brooklyn and Queens libraries have united under the acronym ULU, which is Urban Librarians Unite. And we're talking about whether we want to become the Oakland chapter or if we want to create a sister organization to them. But it's a way for people to stay in touch during the off season, of budget times and then quickly come back together when there's an active crisis. So definitely keep an eye out for that. We're looking at more creative actions and more direct action because those really got attention. And like I said, we borrowed a lot of our ideas from New York people. And working with them, I think we'll have an even better way to create those channels and get those ideas to happen. And we welcome new voices and new thoughts.
Agnes, the librarian, coming to us from the Oakland Public Libraries and giving us some thoughts about a specific instance of the ongoing struggles around austerity that a lot of different people have been organizing around. And so I think that we can consider this a victory, but a temporary victory, and one that, you know, the biggest victory isn't necessarily in the fact that the budget wasn't cut for libraries. It's more in the fact that people came together and started forming these bonds to, you know, create other kinds of social relations and other kinds of sort of sharing. So I think that's what's really important. We're going to go to a musical break, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Booker, 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 booker.